Still to come in the next half an hour or so, we will meet the CEO of Saatchi & Saatchi for a My Last Meal interview. We also meet Santiago to find out what's in his basket today. And there is also a dinner soundtrack recommendation coming up. But now it's time to talk about a new cookbook. Cultural Revolution Cookbook combines Chinese recipes and memories of China's Cultural Revolution, a dark period in China's history. The book is written by Sasha Gong and her friend Scott Seligman. I spoke to the other author of the book, Scott Seligman.
Most of the Chinese cookbooks that are on the market are really about banquet food, very much higher end, sort of prissier cuisine than what we're talking about. This one got its start when Sasha and I were working together on some other books, and we would typically work for half a day and then go into the kitchen and cook something up for lunch. And it became clear to me that her versions of Chinese food weren't quite the same things that you see in Chinese restaurants, even very good ones, and not the same things you see in Beijing in the banquet halls either. There was a sort of an earthiness to this cuisine, much more basic stuff. And so we got to talking about where she'd learned how to cook, and she had, of course, learned in the countryside when she'd been sent down during the Cultural Revolution. And that's really where the idea for the book came from.
When you go through the recipes, can you see that they've been created during the times when there's actually been a lack of food?
Well, yes, I think you can. It's a comprehensive cookbook. It has meat dishes and fish dishes and vegetables and, bean curd, things like that. But it's not to imply that these ingredients were always available and that people ate these things terribly often. Mostly people ate vegetables and grain during this period because food was rationed and there was really never enough at any point during the Cultural Revolution. It depended, obviously, on where you were, whether your village was more prosperous than another one, whether you were in the north, whether you were in the south of China, what you actually ate on a day-to-day basis. But a lot of these dishes, in fact, the largest section in the cookbook is vegetable dishes, because that's what was most abundant. And in some cases, things that were not rationed and not regulated by the government were easier to get. For example, chives. Chives were something you could grow at home. You could snip a few off, they'd grow back, and nobody bothered with them. But other kinds of things, animals, for example, you weren't really allowed to raise animals privately, anything larger than a chicken. They belonged to the commune, and the commune had to sell most of the production to the state. So, for example, we have a pork dish in there that was Chairman Mao's favorite dish. It's delightful. But it's not something that people ate probably more than once or twice a year.
That's really, really interesting. When we talk about the Cultural Revolution in China, that was really hard time for the people and people really suffered. How would you define the point of this book combining those stories, those memories, and recipes?
Well, these are really the recipes. I don't want to use the word discovered, but let me go backwards a little bit. Chairman Mao had created a real monster with the Cultural Revolution. The country basically shut down. They had sent off to the countryside lots of intellectuals and increasingly party officials as well. So the institutions of the country had really ceased to work.
Scott Seligman, when you've been working with this book, has it changed your own attitude to food, your own relationship with food?
Well, first of all, I used to think I was a pretty decent Chinese cook until I met Sasha and became her sous chef in this project. This is a woman who is really instinctive about food. She just knows which vegetables you should use soy sauce with, or which go better with garlic, which go better with ginger, et cetera, et cetera. And so I learned a great deal about that, about cooking from her, and a lot of the techniques that are used in the countryside. I also learned, how some of these recipes can be tweaked when you don't have enough of something. So there's a fair amount of improvisation goes into these things. One recipe we have is a sort of an egg custard. And eggs were rationed during the Cultural Revolution, but at no point could you not get them on the black market if you had the means to do it. The peasants needed this because their livelihood was so poor that they were able to sell eggs occasionally. So you had an egg or two, and you wanted to make this pudding or this out of it. You would simply dilute it with as much water as you had to dilute it with in order to get the custard, enough custard to go around and have everybody get a little taste of it. So we today would make it in a very concentrated way with lots of eggs because we have eggs and they're abundant. But when you didn't have them, more water went into it, and you relied on a couple of drops of sesame oil for some taste. So the important thing was that you tasted a little bit of the egg, not that you necessarily got the full measure of it.
That's quite practical. So basically, you can actually learn some skills that may be handy even today when you're cooking food, not even necessarily Chinese food.
Absolutely.
That was Scott Seligman, the other author of The Cultural Revolution Cookbook.